Welcome to Coffee Cup Tarot, a podcast about the storytelling aspect of tarot and developing an intuitive understanding to the messages they reveal. I'm your host, Marcella Cavill. You can follow me on Instagram at Coffee Cup Tarot Reader, or you can book a reading directly with me at www.coffeecuptarot.com. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started. Okay. Hi, everybody. Oh my goodness, we are finally back with the sevens of the minor arcana. I love the sevens.
I don't know why.
Do you want me to tell you? Okay, wait. So you know how you were just talking about how you're so impatient?
Yes.
That's because the sevens are all about waiting.
I hate waiting.
I know.
And I get them. I've been getting them. I feel like I've been... Like, 2020 into now, maybe the past, like, 6 months, I felt the most impatient I've ever felt in my entire life. And I keep getting the card saying, just wait. Just wait. You've done all the work. Just wait. Like, ugh.
The Seven of Pentacles, maybe?
Probably. I think all of them, I feel like, I've been getting for different reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, about your apartment and your job. But see, everything is coming together. So it is a just wait.
It is.
Period.
And it's all, like, I know energy is moving in the right direction. It's not like I'm concerned about that. But it's like when you can so vividly visualize and taste something, it's hard to be present where you are because it's like our brains are so wired to be visualizing and manifesting. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's just constantly like, but I never had this problem before. I used to be so good at just like, being excited by every little movement towards something that I didn't notice the not having of the full manifestation. But for some reason right now, I'm so aware.
I wonder what that is. Like planetary wise, I wonder what's happening.
I don't know. I think it's just so much excitement. Like I think that's the underlying thing. Because it's not like I'm impatiently waiting for something for like the other shoe to drop. Or I'm not impatient with people. I'm just like, I'm too excited.
Okay, so I pulled out my cards and I was trying to, you know, figure out what we're going to talk about today. And I wrote some things down that I want to tell you. So I think the sevens. Huh?
Me or them?
You.
Okay.
And them.
Okay.
Two of the same. So the sevens deal with introspection and reassessment of goals and desires. Is what it all boils down to. Because if you think about it, we talked about in the sixes how it's like a false victory. Good things have just happened. So how is that a six and not like the end of the goal, like with the tens? And it's because you gotta relight the fire that motivated you in the beginning. So it can represent like the next lesson after the success of the sixes.
I also read that they're somewhat similar to the energy of the twos, except more informed by the wisdom of lessons that you've carried, but a similar, like, evaluating which direction you want to be heading in next.
Oh, not that there's
movement towards it, but it's like a check-in with where am I going from here.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think that all of the characters within these four cards, the Seven of Wands, Seven of Pentacles, Seven of Swords, and Seven of Cups, they show a different approach to what it takes to achieve goals.
Mm. There's only one of them, at least in my Wizards deck, where somebody is actually moving at all. And I think that's the Seven of Swords.
Oh, same. Seven of Swords.
Everyone else is standing still and evaluating, but Seven of Swords is incorporating action a little bit.
Hmm. I was thinking about the other sevens in the tarot, and you get the Chariot, which is really interesting because... Mm. The Chariot is fast-acting desire, sort of. But in the card, the Chariot is standing still, like, when it desires to be moving, whether it's, like, in battle or in a victory parade or whatever. And then you could also connect this card to 17, which is the star, which I thought was really interesting. Not my idea. I read about it online. But they said that it could be connected to inspiration from waiting and assessing your hopes, dreams, prayers. She's abandoning what she thought she wanted, and instead she's living her life from inspiration and guidance from her higher self. So I thought that was an interesting take on the star card.
Hmm.
And then, like, really quickly, the Seven of Swords steals it possibly unfairly or with an advantage that others don't have. I kind of go, like, going off of, like, challenges and waiting aspect of everything. The Seven of Wands has to stand along with their convictions because others want to take what they have, like, after the success of the Six of Wands. The Seven of Pentacles, you have to reassess if you're spending the correct amount of time and attention and energy towards whatever project you have. And the last one, the Seven of Cups, which is my favorite card. It's so many dreams and plans and potential and possibility that you need to take action now to not get overwhelmed by so many choices that there are in life. That's like a word vomit of
each. Yeah. So it's interesting that Seven of Cups is your favorite one, because I also resonate with this one a lot because of being a Sagittarius, I guess. I don't know. Like, constantly daydreaming about all the different things that I want to see.
Yeah.
But, like, the reverse of that being just visualizing, not actually taking any action or movement forward. I think I never want to be caught in that. So maybe that's what kind of brings upon some of the impatience. I always want to be combining the visualization, the dream, with the action to achieve it.
Yeah, I look at that card as more positive, like a vision board.
Yeah.
Let all of the images inspire you to get motivated in life. And I think that it's kind of a card asking you to dig deeper and get to the root of what it is that you're looking for, because all these things aren't going to make you happy. Like, you have to dig deeper.
There's also the concept of having a lot of choices at once.
It's terrible.
And that can sometimes be overwhelming because then you have energy dispersed going down multiple potential timelines rather than getting clear, crystal clear on exactly the cup you want to drink from.
Mm-hmm. Did you read The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath?
Maybe 100 years ago.
Well, there's, like, this quote that has lived with me forever, and it made me want to get a fig tattoo on my wrist.
A fake tattoo?
Fig.
Oh.
Like, of a fig. I hate figs, but there's this passage in there that she talks about a girl sitting at the base of a fig tree and looking up, and all the figs represent, like, different careers, like a family or an Olympic swimmer or a teacher or an astronaut. And so, like, each career you have to, or each life path, you have to do a bunch of different things. But as you sit there and look, some of them fall rotting to the ground and you're missing all these opportunities because you're so overwhelmed by your feelings and you can't decide which life you want because you want to live all of them. So that's kind of what I think about the Seven of Cups.
Yeah, that resonates. It's funny because as much as I do believe in reincarnation and the opportunity to live multiple lifetimes, sometimes I get caught up thinking, I just want to live them all out right now. And it's funny because, like, visualizing, I can see down all of them. I can experience all of them within my limited perspective of what they would be and feel like. Of course, there are things that I can't visualize, but we do have we get a lot of chances to do that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is just narrowing in on the one that feels the best, that's the most filling. And then eventually we find out, like, oh, that we went down that path because it felt the best right now. And then it might lead us to another one when we run out of the inspiration for it. And we might get to experience all of these different things in one lifetime. But if we are stopped just looking at all of them and not choosing something, we're not going to have any of them. And the path of least resistance is a path.
Yeah, that's like the Seven of Cups entirely. And which is kind of nice in the light seers. It's like a chutes and ladders, kind of a snakes and ladders, chutes and whatever that game is called. And there's also a river. So it is kind of going with the flow, like what you're talking about. The path of least resistance. Yeah, that's kind of upright and reversed what we're talking about.
Can we do Seven of Swords now? I find this one to be the most interesting, personally. Yeah, of course, like, it's the most devious. Like, in my Wizards deck, I don't know what yours looks like in the deck that you have right now, but it's just a guy carrying a bunch of books with swords on the bindings of all of them, like, down a narrow, dark passageway, and his face is covered with a black hood, and it's like, you don't know what he's doing there. Like, you don't know if he's stealing from, like, a library or something, if he's taking all these things with, like, malice. You don't know if he's rescuing them, like, getting something that he deserves. You don't know if he's, like a Robin Hood character, taking something unjust and giving it in a just way. Like, you have no idea, but you, like, I love when the interpretation is kind of up to the person and how it hits them. Like, because any person getting a reading could see this card and take it a completely different way. And so I really like that.
It's also interesting that the swords represent thought and air and how that's on books. So it's like a knowledge of sorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Mine is this guy. He's got a bag full of feathers and there's like a crow that is in a bird's nest. So it implies that he stole eggs, I guess.
Mm.
Or killed a bird because he also has a knife in his hand. So it's like really messed up.
That seems a lot darker than mine. At least I like the room for interpretation on mine.
Yeah, so mine, I don't know. I feel like...
Unless the crow was a bad crow.
Crows are bad. No, they're not. They're very smart. Well, how would we connect that with my theory about introspection and reassessment of goals and desires?
Well, if he's stealing information...
I think it could either be a warning about yourself or somebody else. Is something is unfair and unjust about a situation, and it's like a warning.
Hmm. Yeah, it could be. I just, because it's not really it being a sword, rather than, like, I don't know. I would think that would be more of, like, a Pentacles card, like a material realm idea of, like, something being unfair and unjust. Like, this seems, like, all mental, so it could be, like, an imagined feeling of that. Like, the thought that is happening, but maybe not necessarily the reality. Maybe being, like, paranoid.
I'm gonna see what our friend Rachel says. One second. So she says, she describes the sevens as creativeness, inventiveness, possibilities, and suggested that the Seven of Swords could suggest new innovative ways of thinking or possibly new plans.
Yeah, I like the idea of gaining information.
She says, if you get it in a reading, again, various meanings, dynamic, exciting thinking, intellectual or conceptual breakthroughs, possibly spiritual, intense communication, alternatively, an impulsive or clever action that may not solve a problem, possibly a sexual affair.
Ooh.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a cheating card, but I feel like the Five of Swords is more of a cheating card.
So. Yeah, maybe it would be like an emotional affair. Not emotional, but like a connecting with somebody else, but not necessarily like, I don't know, like having a deep communicative conversation.
Like an emotional affair.
Yeah. I think it's interesting the sevens going into the eights energy of like the sevens, you are really in a preparation stage because the eights are action oriented and moving so much faster and you don't have as much time with the eights to consider all options. So this card is really like you are trying to gain as much information as possible before that action has to be taken. So I think like it makes more sense in relationship to the next step than it does standalone.
Interesting. Yeah, that's like something that I'm gonna have to think. I think with like the Rider-Waite even, that feels a lot more connected to your Wizards Tarot because he's like got five of the seven swords in his hands. Mine is just a little strange. I don't know how I feel about that one.
There is one of the books, actually two of the books with the sword on the binding are falling out of the guy's hand. So it kind of has that same energy of the Rider-Waite that like there are things that you don't have a grasp on, but you think you're getting away with all of the information you need.
Yeah, which can also connect to sexual affair as well, because you think you're being sneaky about it and you're not. People know. Tarot is calling your ass out.
Yeah.
Seven of Pentacles, I disagree with you though. about what you said.
Oh, I'm not saying that that is what the Seven of Pentacles means. I'm saying that the energy of it would be more material world association for me.
What does your Seven of Pentacles look like?
It's a girl sitting at a desk that has a bunch of like different beakers of scientific stuff brewing, and she's just like staring at all of them. I kind of like reviewing where she's placed her energy and analyzing and seeing how it's all falling into place and what it's creating at the bottom.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Mine is a little guy with a little plant and he's growing it, aww, which I really like because the Ace of Pentacles, he has like the plant in his hands. He's going to replant or plant again. And then this one feels like a reflection and appreciation of all of his hard work. To keep going, you're not there. It also like feels like you need to take a look at what you're doing to see if you're wasting valuable effort or energy or time.
Mm-hmm.
And in this card, he's either blocking the sun or he's putting energy towards the plant, oh, cool, kind of like pranic healing. That's what I connect to it. It's like focus on where your energy is being put to make your own... I was just jumped on the computer. Whatever. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought.
No, I agree with that. It is like an assessment or an evaluation of where you've been directing your energy and the culmination and the harvest, or not necessarily reward, but the harvest of whatever the seeds you've been planting. But the reversed could be harvesting too soon.
Yeah, impatience with how long things are taking, yeah, Aisha.
I know. Or, like, I have missed opportunity as well. Like, you didn't harvest it at the right time. And this card came up, actually, like, my year reading last year. The time, the exact month that my impatience began was the month that I got this card for. Like, I missed an opportunity, and I feel like that resonates with me, with what everything, how my year unfolded, but I don't know how to get out of that.
That
mindset.
Makes sense. Yeah. My friend who reads my birth chart, she got this card New Year's last year, like 2020, before everything like hit the fan, and she was like, "Oh, I love this card because it feels like I'm working towards something, and I'm trying to get this promotion to where I don't have to work from home anymore. I'll be in a real office." And I was like, I really feel like it's not going to happen yet. Well, she did get the promotion, but since COVID happened, she's still working from home. So she's just like so upset.
The timing. But
yeah, it's very interesting. Do you want to lead us into Seven of Wands?
Lead us into?
Sorry,
did you have
an
idea in mind of how to transition?
No.
my Seven of Wands is a woman. I think it's a woman. It could be a man, I guess. It's in a red cape. You don't see the face, standing facing the ocean on the top of a mountain with wands going off in many different directions. Mm-hmm. And the energy of this card, I always think about it as, I mean, it's action driven, like you're putting energy out kind of thing. And the wizard's interpretation of this is being on defense.
Yeah.
Either you're defending and protecting something that you believe in or a path that you're going down, or you're being too defensive if it's reversed and looking for a fight. So it's got a little bit more of like a warrior energy to it. But because it's using the wands, to me, I think about that as specifically the energy of creation that you're putting out. Not necessarily like a battle you're fighting in the physical realm, but just kind of like more of an energetic thing.
That's really interesting. I can kind of see it how I see it both ways. I feel like in the sixth episode, we talked about how these cards are similar. But I'm kind of going back on how I feel about that, because I think here, I feel like here is, so right before you're victorious in whatever you've done. And so like now it's the aftermath from the action you've taken previously. So kind of like our entire inspired action motto was for number six. So number six or number seven is the aftermath of all of the inspired action.
You know what just came to my mind? Like, what? Defending a dissertation. Like, yeah. You're not, it's not like a physical fight or something, but it's like, or like a persuasive essay. Like, you're trying to convince either yourself or the outside world that you put your energy in the right direction and you've studied all of this for something.
Yeah, exactly. And these people in the card, I assume that they're all like holding these wands and they're like poking and prodding like at the Rider-Waite one. My light seers is different. There's an undertone of now you have to face the challenges from being successful and from making it, such as others have seen you as a successful person and now they're like, I want to be there. I'm going to take her place. So they're going to confront you and challenge you what you have done or said. So this card also could be like a warning to be like, make sure that you're being true to yourself and you're ready for everything, like whatever success will bring to you, because others, like, just because you're successful doesn't mean there won't be challenges that come up. It's like if you win the lottery, like, yeah, you have a bunch of new problems now. Like, true. It's not just everything is perfection.
I just was reminded of the upright and reverse of this being like Drake versus Kanye energy with success. Like, Kanye being like standing in his strength and like wants to inspire people to rise up to become a god like him. And Drake being like, I'll fight whoever wants to take my place. Like,
yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think reversed, it could be like expect criticism from other people. It could be overwhelming is like a common theme with all of these cards reversed. Kind of like ignoring your responsibilities.
Interesting. And it's unprecedented responsibilities, things that you didn't necessarily foresee coming.
Yeah, I copied this thing. I'm reading it. It's about the Tree of Life in Kabbalah and how the four sevens reside in the seventh sephira. Sorry if I pronounce this wrong. Netzach? That can't be that. I don't know how to say it. N-E-T-Z-A-C-H. And then they said victory and endurance, which that is really interesting because victory is the sixes and the seventh is endurance from the victory.
Yeah.
So then it provides, they wrote, I don't know where this is from, so I don't have resources, but provides the fortitude and determination to succeed in one's endeavors and overcome obstructions or challenges. It deals with the emotions and feelings and the focused concentration and control over whatever the endeavor was.
Yeah.
Which connects to the chariot again. It's all fascinating.
Yeah.
This stuff is so weird.
And it really is like the fool's journey or the hero's journey, like the exact unfolding where like you think you're at the top and then there's more to keep going. Like you see the goal, you achieve the goal, but the story never ends there. Like everybody thinks that when they get the thing that they've been after,
yeah,
then everything, they'll be happy and that's it. But like,
life is about expansion.
Yeah. And I always think about Jim Carrey talking about how he wishes everybody would be successful and famous and money so that they would realize that that's not the answer.
Yeah. Oh, that gave me chills to think about.
Yeah. It makes you like re-question. Do you watch the movie Soul?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
I loved that because that
I did too. Natalie hated it.
Oh my gosh, because she like is a hard worker achieving goal person. Like I think it's gotta be hard for a lot of Capricorns
to watch. I really that movie. Liked how it made me feel better about not knowing what my purpose is. Because you don't need a freaking purpose.
And I
self-help always, writers.
Every time I get caught up in this illusion that like I'm here for this one specific reason, or I'm supposed to accomplish this one specific thing, or there's this one path, I always realize, no, like, I'm just here to experience everything. Like, I'm here to be present and experiencing and taking everything in through my senses. And because that's something that I always try to come back to, the presence being the only answer, like, I try to get, if there's ever a question, that is the one answer that I believe to be true. So anything else is just like filler stuff. And I really, there has not been Disney movies or movies in general that like stress that point, that the meaning can just be that simple.
Yeah, I really loved it. It was so good.
Yeah.
She like brought, she read, I think the problem with that situation was she read a review and before she saw it. So she had preconceived ideas that weren't her own. So she was watching this movie from someone else's lens, and she would not let herself feel a different way. Because in the movie, I was like crying. She was just sitting there.
And it is such a feeling blank. Experience watching that movie. You do really have to feel into it.
Yeah.
But oh, I really would liked it. Seven of Wands conversation with Natalie on that one. Because I'll defend the crap out of it.
You should. That would be really fun to watch. Okay, so next time we're going to talk about the eights. And then I think we're planning another manifesting episode.
Yeah.
Because Natalie wants to talk about her own manifesting, which I'm really excited to hear. Because she's been attracting some crazy things into her life.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Peace.